Some of you listen to this and go, what does this have to do with me? You know, when we said there's good intent at the heart of the universe, right? When we started by saying it that way, we began way back in the universe with star forming nebula, forming our star the sun shining light on the earth being the place where life, as we know it, came to be. We transformed sunshine into life. And then we wink in as us. And we think that we're separate beings. And that's what gets us into real difficulty. But if we begin to understand ourselves foundationally as interconnected, as a part of all of this that is around us, and not just struggling with our computer on, our phone on, our TV on, driving around in the world that we have created, but we are a part of something. We are interconnected with it all. Then for me, the whole thing kind of changes. So to have that this piece of paper, yeah, it's behind a refrigerator magnet on my refrigerator, you know? But occasionally, I'll look at it and think that way. Think about it on my refrigerator. One of the things I've started doing over the last few years is if there's something that I feel I want to avoid sitting in front of me, I've been trying to make the practice of reaching across it to get it done. In other words, if I feel like I want to avoid it, that's a sign I need to get it done. And I wondered where that practice came from. And I went back to my notes, and it came from my thinking around New Year's and New Year's intent now almost 4 years ago. And I still can't do it every time, but it's becoming a little bit easier. It's kind of that notion in front of me. It's if somebody has done me wrong, you know, and I go into my conflict avoidance mode, I realize, I've got to think about how to reach across that because that's my practice. Now, that's a big instance. Another instance is if I'm resisting opening my email because I'm not sure what the heck is going to be in there, you know, I go, okay, got to do it, and click. I'm into my email. So that came out of my New Year's resolution, my re-solution to things. New Year's is that time to look forward and back where the Roman god Janus has two faces. And from our affirmation, number 544, verses 1 through 5, it says, what are we going to do with this year? What are we going to do with this time? Are we going to think about it as time in front of us, as an opportunity space for us to do something different? Realizing that we are the hearts and minds, the hands and feet, the embodiment of whatever is going to be. Resolutions mean that we're not helpless. We can have resolve. And if you break resolve, what is that? It's resolve. Do over this year, over and over. And I thought about the moment of my resolve is my salvation. Again, a play on words, a change of one letter. People talk about salvation. We are actually a tradition of salvation. In other words, it's what you do in your life that saves you. So resolve is a part of that. That carries you back to what? To the notion of practice. Not being saved by a great act, but being changed by doing over and over and over again. So what are your resolutions, your resolutions? Some of you, I look out, and there's a resolution being acted out this morning because you're here. You're giving it another look, you know, or you're up this morning and gonna be in today, or you got up out of bed and said, oh man, it's a great day, and I just want to sit in with my coffee and my paper. I don't want to get dressed. Is this a pajama day at church? You know. And finally, you went on. Actually, we should do that. So my own resolutions or resolutions have been over the last several years, once I realized the importance of practice, is just to focus on practice, to resolve over and over and over again, little by little. And there are two understandings or pictures that I want to share with you. One of them is, again, personal scripture. And it's a story I've shared before, and many of you know. It's a story of two Buddhist monks, a young Buddhist monk and an old Buddhist monk on a journey. Okay? They're walking along and they come to a stream. There's an elderly woman who needs help to cross the stream on this side of the stream, and she asks the monks if they will help her across. And the older monk takes her and puts her on his back, takes her across the stream. She gets off, and the young monk and the old monk go about their journey, and they're walking along. But it's obvious that the young monk is out of sorts for the rest of the day. He's just kind of, you know how it is, where something's happened, you don't know what it is, you want to say, hey, what's going on? But they walk along in silence, so they don't go, hey, what's going on? And they finally got to the end of the day, and the young monk couldn't stand it anymore, and he said to the old monk, he said, wait, in our order, it says that we're not supposed to touch women. And back there, you touched that woman when you helped her across the stream. What's going on? And the old monk turned to him and said, yes, I helped her across the stream and I put her down on the other side. You have been carrying her the rest of the day. The practice of doing what I need to do to put something down so that I don't carry it the rest of the day. And then having done my part, putting it down. It's not easy to do that, but it seems so simple. That vision of putting it down on the other side of the stream and then walking on, enjoying the day or moving into the evening, a little more in the moment, a little more good to go. A corollary of that is what I said earlier, is reaching across. It's that practice of reaching across resistance, my own resistance, to make connection and then to move on. I would say that every time we step back from connection and we let that divide sit there, that's not a move of integrity. We are not weaving that paper of wholeness, of community, of connection, of belonging. So that the move of integrity is to try to practice reaching across to make those connections. So I don't have to carry the thinking about doing that something I'm resisting around with me, or that negative energy, or that anger, or that upset with the other person. What I can do, that is when I'm not too rushed, is I actually practice this. A minor example, and Thich Nhat Hanh uses it in his mindfulness examples, is when I'm doing dishes. But I do it in a different way. If I feel like I want to quit before the last cup is put up or the plastic bags are washed, that's a sign not to quit. I don't. Done. Kitchen clean. Now, I'm not obsessive about it, obviously not, but I have to struggle with doing that. I practice it with phone calls and emails, again, if I can. When I feel resistance to answering or calling, I know that that's a sign that I need to do it so I can put it down and walk on and then be free of that burden. I practice overcoming resistance. I actually do it by getting out of bed in the morning. There's nothing more comfortable than to just, never mind. And particularly when you're recovering from the flu. So I fail, and I resolve this over and over and over again. But I'm learning with practice. I'm getting better. It's getting better. It's getting easier. It's getting to be more a part of what I do. I have a note that says I'm actually practicing this for world peace. See? What do you... All right. How am I going to connect this to world peace? More accurately, I'm practicing this for more peace in the world. And I'm also practicing it and making a difference at the scale of my competence. Where I stand back from world peace, I can't do anything about that, and then I'll go argue with my friends about how bad everything is and talk about that. What I can do is I can practice reaching across these resistances. I can practice being creating more peace in the world a little bit at a time, over and over. The other example, it's been now several years since I've been a participant in the Interfaith Ministerial Associations. They've even changed their name to, I don't even know what it is now because I resist it, because I was one of the founders of the Interfaith Ministerial Association. But they have an interfaith prayer service for peace. How many of you went to that? Yeah. Okay. That actually started over in our office years and years ago. But as a participant, it was at Trinity Presbyterian, and I arrived early, only to discover that a person who had issues directed to me, very strong issues, was there. It was a person I'd reached out to try to reach across these, only to be turned down. And I reacted to it. I saw them, so I'm at the Interfaith Service for Peace. And so here I was carrying this burden of there out there in the room. And was I just going to sit through the service until I did my part in the service? But I felt the energy. I felt that resistance in me, the irony of coming to share sanctuary at a prayer service for peace and having my breathing and heart rate go up meant I had to find right action. I decided what I wanted to say or needed to say in friendly greeting to this person. Three times before the service, I tried to approach the person, and twice they obviously avoided me. There was never any doubt about it. The nature of Trinity's sanctuary is that it's in the round, so you kind of know if you're going up to somebody and they're going away. But because of my small practice, I then could orient in the moment. I had an approach, resolve. And through my and because of my resolution, I could think a re-solution. And at some point, I honored that. I'd done my part. I'd done what I could do to reach across. And I took my place in the service. Beautiful music, readings and talks in Spanish and English and Hebrew and Arabic. Rabbi Cohen of Agudas Israel said that peace resides in us, in the wholeness we create, the integrity we create by reaching across divisions and separateness in love. There's that language again. Washing cups and making phone calls as practice for those moments. Todd Hoke sang "If Life Is But a Dream" by Lorna Roberts, and the chorus said, "Slow down, let go, breathe deep, gently row." We sang, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me," and I had the feeling that it could. It just might. So I wrapped up in my concluding remarks the sense that whatever peace became real that night, it would be in our bodies through our actions. What did we read in our responsive affirmation? For the words to become embodied, we had to live them. I didn't realize we were living out that New Year's reading for today. And then I asked everyone to smile. That's from Thich Nhat Hanh. And bow to their neighbor. So let's take a moment to smile and bow to our neighbor. I did the same, and I smiled and bowed to the person I told you about across the room. I had reached across. It was the bow, that little move. Just think about that, the difference between standing here and going, I'm not going to do that. That feels awkward. I don't do that. And the bow and the smile. Just that. It's not even 2 seconds. That made peace in me and in my connections. It was as much as I can do. Much of the burden was put down. And we closed with Wayne Arneson's benediction. Take courage, friends. Let's see. Take courage, friends. How's it go? I'll look it up. We'll know it as soon as we see it. 698. There's the opening. There's the word that gets into it. Yeah. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard. The path is never clear. And the stakes are very high. Take courage. For deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. We enter R. Take courage. Courage, heart. That's what it takes to turn over a new leaf, to reach across divisions and separations in love, to make love more present in the world. And to do that, you practice resolve. Resolve. Resolutions. Resolution. Over and over. That's practice. That's salvation in the new year. So happy new year. Are there any new leaves that you want to give form or more group substance by putting into words this New Year's Day? Any thoughts or comments or wishes that need to be more than the paper that you said? Anybody? It made a big difference for me to say, I wasn't going to say it, but it's hard to do. I'm going to bring the guitar back into my life. Reason I do that, it's so hard to do and face it. I'm going to do that, and now you know it. So you are that paper of good intent, a part of that, that I'm going to put on the fridge. Anybody else have one that they... All right. Take courage. So turn to 544. And when you see the word can, replace it with will. And let's just go through the last half where we ask the question, what shall we do with this great gift of time this year? Join with me and let's just read through to the end. Let us begin by remembering that whatever justice, whatever peace and wholeness might bloom in our world this year, we are the hearts and minds, the hands and feet, the embodiment of all the best visions of our people. The new year will be new ground for the seeds of our dreams. Let us take the step forward together onto new ground, planting our dreams well, faithfully and in joy. Let us begin. Let us take our new leaf, made from the mulch of our dreams and visions and intentions, and enjoy our dreams, our intents, well and faithfully.